Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Saturday, January the 1st. Happy New Year. Happy 2022 as we say goodbye to 2021 and we move on to 2022. We're back on the saddle. We were a couple of weeks away, enjoying a little family time, enjoying a little, you know, get away from things, recharge your batteries, get yourself back together. And here we are, back to tackle a brand new year, a year that I think will be extremely interesting, certainly politically will be extremely interesting. We've got midterms coming up in November. We have some challenges in the economy, lots and lots of things that will not change and will be very, very interesting in 2022. Let me talk a little bit about a couple of people who passed away here in the last 72 hours as we were coming back from vacation. John Madden, the great John Madden, and Betty White, who was 99. Let's go ladies first and talk a little bit about Betty White. You know, I was not a huge fan of her shows. I'm not one of those who had seen all of her shows. I know she was a longstanding television figure and many, many shows that she had been on for quite some time. But one thing I did admire about Betty White, one thing that I loved about Betty White, was the fact that she was always a lady. And, you know, they're very typical of that generation, very similar to my mom. And maybe if you have a mom like as I did, who lived to age 92, passed away earlier in 2021. But Betty White was very much of that generation, you know, very elegant, ladylike person. And that was probably my favorite part about Betty White. As I say, I didn't necessarily follow her shows, but I saw her on television many times when she was doing interviews, and I just found her to be just absolutely charming, just an absolutely charming person. But as I said before, very much a reminder of what things used to be, a lot of elegance and just a lot of nice things about that generation. So Betty White, who made it to 99, as I understand, she was going to be 100 here in a few weeks, didn't quite make it to 100, but she did make it to 99. And it is kind of interesting. You die on the very last day of the year. I always find that to be unique. And, you know, if you're going to die, I guess if you're going to die the last of the year, well, last day of the year, I guess, is the day to die, if you want to put it that way. But Betty White, who was 99, what an amazing career. Now, John Madden was totally different, of course. John Madden, for many of us, he was a coach, an NFL analyst. Some of you who like to play computer football, well, you probably had his football game. That was not the part of John Madden that I liked, because I was never really into the football game or the computer game, that is. But I was very much a big fan of John Madden, the coach, and definitely John Madden, the NFL analyst on television. Now, as a coach, he won the Super Bowl in 1977. He was the coach of the Oakland Raiders, and he, if you follow football at all in the 1970s, you'll remember that the Oakland Raiders were a team that was always right there at the end, but never quite won the big game. They lost several times to the Steelers, including that famous game, the Immaculate Reception, where Franco Harris made that catch. And, you know, it was just a very tough, it was tough to be a Raiders fan in the 1970s because your team was always winning. Your team was always winning, but they never quite won the big one. But they finally did in 1977 when the Raiders beat the Vikings and they won their first Super Bowl. Now, they had a few others after that, but that was their first one. And it was just so much fun to see John Madden. If you remember the scene, he got picked up by his players, which is, of course, another expression of the great respect and admiration that they had for him as a man and as a coach, and they carried him off the field. And that was John Madden. That was the man that many of us used to love as a coach. Then he became the NFL analyst on CBS. This is when CBS used to do the NFC. Now they do the AFC. Now Fox does the NFC. But anyway, he became their number one analyst. He was always doing the Sunday afternoon game. You know, they have a doubleheader on Sundays. But the Sunday afternoon game, this the one that sort of goes into prime time a little bit, that's the one that Madden would do the analysis on. And he was just fantastic. And, you know, people would just fell in love with his style. You know, there was nothing fancy about it. There was just something very real about it, though. And I used to love watching a game when John Madden was doing the analysis. Now, once you got into the postseason, then of course John Madden was doing the postseason. And if CBS or later Fox was doing the Super Bowl, well, there was John Madden doing the Super Bowl. So what an amazing man he was. What an interesting guy he was. And let me tell you a quick story that I learned in the last couple of days when I've been reading stuff about him. There was one night that he was doing a football game. I don't know where. But he was doing a football game, and he was a huge fan of a certain soup that was sold at a restaurant near the stadium. So he called the stadium ahead of time and said, look, I really need you to stay open and make that soup for me, which they did. And then he shows up at the restaurant. He gets the soup. He gives the waiter a $100 tip, which is, I'm sure, many times the soup, the price of the soup. And then he gave a football and other things to everybody in the kitchen and took photographs with him. That was John Madden. That was, I think, in many ways, the man who passed away. A very real man. I think the kind of guy that, as a fan, you loved. And I can see why they loved him as a coach. I can see why the players loved him as a coach. He was just that kind of guy. And it's just a great, great tour to think of memories of John Madden doing a football game. There was one game that really comes to mind. The Cowboys were playing the Giants or the Eagles in a postseason game or a very important game. And the Cowboys run a play and it doesn't work. And then they come right back fourth down and they run the exact same play and it doesn't work. And Madden was screaming saying, it didn't work the first time. It didn't work the second time. What a terrible play. Well, that was John Madden. That was the John Madden that we love. Now, of course, that day, we didn't like it because we were rooting for the Cowboys that day. But as a fan, you got to love his personality and you got to love his style. So John Madden, just great. 1936, 2021, great life. And we're going to remember a lot of it because there's so much of it on video, so much of it that will be around for a long time that hopefully future generations will take a few minutes and listen to him and just watch the way he used to do a game. You know, they don't train people to do that in sports journalism school. You don't go to sports journalism school to learn how to be a John Madden behind the microphone. That's just something you are born with. It's with you. It's in you. And it just comes out. It's a little bit like Harry Carey when he used to do the Cubs games in Chicago. That's just something you're born with. They don't teach you that in school. You have it or you don't have it. And in the case of John Madden, he clearly had it. So rest in peace, John Madden. Man, we're going to miss you. We're going to miss you so much every time we watch a football game. We're going to take a little break and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. I want to say something else about John Madden. I have a post about him that was printed on the 31st of December over at the American Thinker. You can find it there. If you read the American Thinker, you can see it on my blog or my political page over at Facebook. And the post was about, I learned about John Madden's death in Mexico while I was vacationing in Mexico with my family. And I was amazed at the number of people in Mexico who were talking about John Madden, just absolutely amazed. Everybody knew him. Everybody loved him. And that's what made him so great. John Madden, just absolutely one of my favorite people. I have a post today on the 1st of January over at the American Thinker. Again, you can see it over there, or you can see it. I usually reprint them on my blog or over at my Facebook political page. You can usually see it there as well, where I talk about 2022 and how I believe that 2022 is going to be very difficult for President Biden. Now, some of you are going to ask, how can that be? How can it be more difficult than 2021? Well, it's not that it's going to get worse. It's not that he's going to drop to 25%. He's already pretty low. But it's just that he's not going to go up. He's going to be between 35 and 40% for most of the year. And I talk in my article about two decisions that President Biden made at the beginning of his administration, the very first week of his administration. He made two very bad decisions. The first one was the cancellation of the pipeline and messing with the supply of fossil fuels. All that did was to increase the price of gasoline, and all that did is unleash this terrible inflation, devastating a lot of American families. You know, I understand that we're recovering from the pandemic and all of that, and that's true. But clearly that decision to mess around with fossil fuels is the reason you're paying a lot more gasoline. Now, if you drive a Ferrari and you're making $500,000 a year, it doesn't really matter what the price of gasoline is. But most people are not that way. They do depend on their cars, and increasing the price of gasoline from $2 to $3 per gallon has a huge impact on the average person. And that's why President Biden's popularity is way down. The other big decision that he made was to reverse what President Trump was doing on the U.S.-Mexico border, things that were actually working quite well. The Remain in Mexico policy and the other controls that President Trump had put in place, they were working. They were clearly working. The border was in much better shape than it is now. What we have on the border right now, as we've discussed many times here on the audio, as well as the videos, as well as my posts, what we have on the border right now is just a mess, and it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better until this administration comes to terms with the fact that they have to protect the American border. That's what the responsibility of the federal government is. So those two decisions, the border and messing around with fossil fuels, have done this president and this country really a tremendous harm. And that's why he is looking forward to a very bad 2022. It may get a little bit better, but not significantly to have any political impact that will favor the Democrats in 2022. Well, just a quick reflection here. On this day in history, 1959, the 1st of January, 1959, this is the day that Batista left Cuba and left the vacuum that was eventually filled by the communist and the Castro regime. And this was sort of the day that it all began. A few years later, my family left in 1964. My parents took the family out. Millions of other Cubans have left as well. But this was the day. This is the 63rd anniversary, really, of what I would like to call the destruction of Cuba and the end of Cuba as a prosperous and decent country. I'm not saying it was perfect before, never said it was, but it was certainly better than what it is right now. And the country has been completely devastated by this communist regime, and it started on this day in 1959. Hard to believe. I don't think anybody of my parents' administration thought that this would last as long as it has, but it has. And every time these anniversaries come up, I think of my parents, who passed away, of course, and I think of my relative, uncle, aunts, grandparents, and so on, and everybody else in Cuba who got stuck behind. I got lucky. I got to leave. But many other Cubans did not get to leave, and they're the ones who've paid the ultimate price, really, for this terrible, terrible thing that happened on this day in 1959, the beginning of the destruction of Cuba. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. Happy New Year, and we'll talk again.